cocon, mon quotidien, c'est sur ta oui.
Welcome to the second season of True Crime Naija. In this season, we bring you stories of crimes that happen not only in Nigeria, but also across Africa.
We hope that by sharing these stories, we all become more aware of the types of crimes that happen here.
And by becoming aware, we become smarter at detecting and hopefully preventing similar crimes.
This episode and other episodes of True Crime Naija can be found on our 234 Audio YouTube channel, on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, let's get started.
It's 11 p.m. on Wednesday, August 28, 2019, in Busega, Lugunje, Uganda. Brenna Nakide is getting ready for bed. She had just finished taking a long warm bath to pass the time as she waits for her elder sister Maria to return home. As she changes into comfy pajamas, her phone begins to ring. It's her sister, so she picks up. Hello?
Brenna, I'm at the gate. Please come and open it.
Okay.
She hangs up the phone, leaves her room, and grabs the key to the gate. As she approaches the gate, she's blinded by Maria's car headlights shining through the bars. She raises her hand to block the light and reaches for the lock to unlock the gate. But as she's unlocking the gate, she hears Maria's muffled screams.
And then instead of seeing Ronald, Maria's driver, she sees a strange man behind the wheel. The man locks eyes with her and in the next second he hits the gear and begins to reverse in full speed. Brenna hears Maria screaming from the backseat of the car. She appears to be struggling with another person. Brenna begins to chase after the car. She runs after the car and manages to hit the bonnet.
But the car is faster. She keeps running after the car as it drives off into the night. Brenna continues to scream and cry out.
Help, my sister, help! Hi, I'm Antonietta.
I'm Richard.
And I'm Nabila.
And this story could
save
your life.
It's midnight, and 40-year-old Harriet Nakiejwe is huddled up on her living room couch. She's trying to take deep breaths. 20 minutes earlier, she had woken up to a shocking call from her sister, Brenna. Brenna told her that their sister Maria was kidnapped at her home in Lugunje earlier that night. Lugunje is a neighborhood in Kampala, the capital of Uganda. Harriet is scared and confused. Her mind is racing with so many questions. Who are these people? Why would they want to kidnap her sister?
Her thoughts are cut short when her phone begins to ring. It's her uncle, Ben Mukwaya. She picks up. Hello, uncle.
Harriet, are you ready? You can start coming over.
They hang up and Harriet grabs her handbag and dashes out of her house. Harriet and some of her other family members are meeting at Lugunje Police Station. It's the station closest to where Maria was kidnapped.
At exactly 12:43 in the morning, Harriet and her family arrive at the Lugunje police station. They meet a few policemen who tell them to report to the Natete police station, which is about a 10-minute drive away, but still in Kampala.
But why?
Well, the policemen tell Harriet and her family that the Natete police station has more officers, and that's also where the CCTV command center is located. There are CCTV cameras positioned at strategic places around the city of Kampala.
Okay, so basically the police in Natete could help them faster.
Exactly. On their way to Natete, Harriet tries her best to remain positive. She assures her family that the CCTV cameras would have definitely picked up video clips of the people who took Maria. But as much as she tried to appear positive on the outside, Harriet was terrified. This wasn't the first time something like this has happened in the city.
What do you mean?
Well, according to Now Post, Uganda was experiencing a high rate of kidnappings at that time. Since the beginning of the year, there had already been 50 kidnapping cases. On their way to the station, Harriet was thinking about one case in particular, the case of Susan Magara.
Susan was kidnapped on her way to her house in Lugunje back in 2017, and a few days later, her dead body was discovered in another town.
Harriet prayed silently and tried to push the thought of Susan out of her mind. They pull up at the Natete police station. The family parks their car and enters the station. At this point, it's about 1 in the morning.
The family, which includes Harriet's dad, her uncle, and several others, tell the police what happened. One of the family members pleads with the police, "Please, help us review the CCTV cameras. Maybe one of the cameras picked up something that will help."
One of the officers leans back in his chair, kicks his feet up on the table. The other officers wait for him to speak. He looks at the family and says, "The cameras are not working." Then he tells them that the area where the kidnapping happened is not in their jurisdiction. "You have to go to the police station in Katwe."
What? Why didn't the other station tell them that? I mean, the first station they went to.
We don't know. Either way, Harriet and her family don't want to waste time arguing. They quickly get back in their car and make the 20-minute drive to Katwe, which is also in Kampala.
The police at Katwe station were a bit more helpful. They take the description of Maria's car and look through their CCTV footage to see if they could find a match. The family waits anxiously, hoping for some information. The police at Katwe station search through their CCTV footage for a white Toyota Spacio, and after 15 minutes, they report back to the family. "We could see a car that may be your sister's, but the camera images are not clear, and they only cover a few streets. We think the car was at Kinawataka, but our cameras do not go past Kinawataka."
The police then direct the family to go to another station, the Old Kampala Police Station, which is about a 10-minute drive away. At the Old Kampala Police Station, they were told the cameras were having issues and that they should try the Katwe Station.
God, isn't that where they just left?
Yes, it was.
Dear God, so much valuable time is being lost right now.
I know, but the family keeps going. They return to Katwe, but the police at Katwe really couldn't do much more than they had done earlier. But they call their colleagues in Natete and ask them to assist the family.
This family is literally running around in circles. Natete is where the CCTV command center is, right?
Yes, that's the same police station where Harriet and her family were told that the CCTV cameras were not working. By the time they circled back to Natete station, it was already 5 a.m. and it's also Thursday the 29th. They were fed up and tired, and Maria had been gone for 6 hours.
That day, news of Maria's kidnapping spread like wildfire, and the police began to investigate. On Friday, August 30th, Maria's car is discovered. Her car was discovered by police that morning in Natete. While the police are processing the car for evidence, they receive a call. A woman had just reported that she found a dead body in her farm. The woman who called the police, we don't know her name, lives in Nachitutuli village, which is about 1 hour east of Kampala. Ever since she retired, she spends a lot more time on her farm. That Friday morning, she's making her usual trek around the farm when she sees an object that does not look familiar. When she gets closer, she's shocked to find that it's a dead body. She screams, turns back, and calls for help. The police arrive at the farm and there they discover the body of Maria Nagurinya. And just a few feet away, they see another body. It's the body of her driver, Ronald Chitayambiwa.
Maria Nagurinya was a beautiful young woman with a smile that could light up any room. And she was passionate about helping to develop Uganda. She worked for an NGO focused on providing clean water and sanitation services to communities in Uganda. And at the time of her death, she was newly married. She had just gotten married a year before to her long-term boyfriend who was working in Dubai at the time of her death.
The news of Maria's death spread around the country. People reacted, especially to the police behavior, which many felt was negligent. Maria's story reached the highest level of Uganda's government. And on the 10th of September 2019, President Yoweri Museveni ordered the sacking of all the police officers at Natete Station.
That's the second station Harriet and her family went to, right? I mean, the station that is supposed to be the CCTV command center.
That's right, that station. In a message posted on his social media accounts, Museveni said he was briefed about the incident and found out there was negligence by police officers manning the CCTV command center in Natete. With the president's attention now on the case, more pressure was put on the police to solve it.
With more digging, the police were able to get clear footage of the man driving Maria's car on the night she was kidnapped.
What do you mean with more digging? Do you mean the CCTV footage was there all along?
Yes. We're not sure how it was found or at which police station, but they managed to find it. And the man in the video matched the description Maria's sister, Benna, gave them that night. She described him as a man with dark complexion, wearing a white shirt and a red coat with a cap on his head. The police released the image to the public and asked for any tips that could lead to the man's arrest.
While the police were waiting for information from the public, they discovered that 500,000 Ugandan shillings had been withdrawn from Maria's bank account. That's about 60,000 naira or $150.
Wait, was this after her body was found?
Yes. The police saw this as a potential lead and they traced the transaction to a woman named Nakubulwa. Maria Negrinya was kidnapped and her body was found 3 days later. The police are looking for the man captured on CCTV driving Maria's car. And while they are looking for him, someone withdraws money from Maria's account. They trace the transaction to a money agent in Natete. The agent's name is Nakubulwa. A money agent is like how we use POS agents to withdraw and deposit money in Nigeria.
When they contact Nakubulwa, she tells the police that the money was withdrawn by one of her clients named Kasulu, who also goes by the name Arsenal. She leads police to his location, and on the 8th of September, the police raid the place and arrest Kasulu and his friend Barus. Now get this, Kasulu was wearing a red coat when he was arrested.
The red coat from the CCTV?
The same one. After Kasulu's arrest, he gives up the name of another suspect who was also arrested.
All in all, 6 people were arrested that week for having something to do with Maria and her driver's kidnap and deaths. After questioning the suspects, the police began to understand what happened that night. The ringleader in everything was Kasulu. He was the one captured on CCTV driving Maria's car. The other 5 men helped him.
One man helped coordinate a way for them to follow Maria and her driver to Lugunje. Since the kidnappers did not have a car, another man, Kiseka Hassan, hired 2 bike riders who took them to Lugunje where they kidnapped Maria. Kiseka was responsible for killing Maria's driver by hitting his head with a car jack shortly after the kidnapping. A 5th man named Johnson Lubega helped in the kidnapping.
We're not really sure how Maria died. Some sources said she was tortured for a while before being killed. A few said she was hit on the head with a blunt object which left multiple fractures on her skull. On the 18th of October 2019, the suspects were charged to court for the kidnap and murder of Maria and her driver Ronald.
Was there some kind of motive? Like, was there a reason Kasulu and his friends killed Maria? Did Kasulu and Maria know each other?
Well, from what we gathered, this was just an act of robbery that went wrong. They killed innocent Maria and her driver all because of money.
But why didn't they just rob them? Why go further to kill them?
We don't know. It was probably just an act of wickedness.
I also think Maria was targeted.
Yes, we think so too. Our best guess is that Kasulu and his friends were watching and following Maria somehow. They knew she had some kind of money. The prosecution also discovered that Maria and her driver Ronald were robbed of some valuables. I mean, they took their phones and all the money they found in their wallet and purse. And of course, they took Maria's ATM card, which they used to withdraw money from money agent.
But how did they get her PIN?
We don't know. Maybe that's why the rumors about torture were flying around.
Gosh, my main issue in this case was with the police. I mean, they were slow to react at first to this case.
I agree with you. I mean, if they had responded with more haste, Maria's kidnappers would have been caught before things escalated to murder. They had a description of Maria's car and of Kasulu, who was wearing a red coat and driving her car. They had that information within the first hour of the kidnapping.
Did they send out this information to all the patrols in the area that night so they could be on the lookout for the car and the man?
We don't know for sure, but we seriously doubt it.
The police officers involved were taken to court for negligence, and Harriet even testified against them. The court did not send them to jail, but they received professional reprimands.
This is yet another case where police did not respond quickly to a missing person report. We have seen it over and over again in this season. We saw it in the cases of Mohammed and Inyobong in Nigeria, and now in this case of Maria and her driver in Uganda.
We'll say it again. The first 24 to 48 hours are critical in a missing person case. If you have a loved one missing, definitely report it to the police immediately, but be prepared to be the one to actively pursue until you find your loved one.
Just make sure any information you find along the way, you share it with the police.
We hope that Maria and Ronald's families find peace, and we really need to look into how we can change police response to missing persons across all of Africa so that their deaths are not in vain.
We relied on several sources for this episode, including NowPost and Chimp Reports, and we will include the links in our episode notes. Join us next week for another episode of True Crime Niger. This time, we will go to Kenya for the case of a man who confessed to killing 19 people, but the courts dismissed the cases against him. True Crime Niger is a Triple E Media production. Production copyright 2021, Triple E Media Productions. This episode of True Crime Niger was produced by Antonietta Kalunta, John Iwodi, Richard Anyebe, Nabila Usman, Nico Rivas, and Sam Tabakaji. Executive producer Rahmat Muhammad. Special thanks to Rabia Hadeja and Mala Iwa Gbadu Ikaleku. Stay alert, stay alive. See you next week.